CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor. Conflict with the People's Republic of China's PLAN Navy. The landscape is exactly the same as it was when the U.S. Navy left it in 1945 after the conquest of the Imperial Japanese Navy and Army. And I welcome Grant Newsham, a retired United States Marine officer, former U.S. diplomat, a senior fellow at the Center for Security Policy and the Yorktown Institute, to help me understand the landscape that is likely to be involved in a violent conflict in and around the South China Sea in the eventuality that Beijing makes good on its boasting that it will recapture Taiwan. Grant, a very good evening to you. Thank you. I want to start with Okinawa Prefecture, the large Okinawa island. In 45, that was the scene of nightmares and tragedy for the U.S. Marine Corps and the U.S. Army and the people of Okinawa because the Japanese Imperial Army died in place. It is now a contest between China and the United States and Japan with the Mutual Defense Pact. Okinawa, is it well suited today to take on an assault by the PLA Navy? What does it need? Good evening to you, Grant.
Well, good evening. Glad to be here, John. Well, Okinawa is as important as it was in 1945. If you look at it from China's perspective, the Okinawa and the chain of smaller islands going all the way down to Taiwan and up to mainland Japan constitute a wall or a barrier to the People's Liberation Army trying to get into the Pacific. So they have to get through these islands to get to the Pacific. Thus, China wants them. And the Japanese and the Americans don't want to let the Chinese get through if push comes to shove. The main island of Okinawa is where most of the Japanese and U.S. military bases in particular are located. But the Japanese have put some smaller facilities on some of the smaller islands going all the way to Taiwan, put anti-ship missiles on there, defend them with surface ships and aircraft flying out of Okinawa and other bases. And the People's Liberation Army, the Chinese military, would have a very long afternoon trying to get through the straits, the gaps in between these islands.
We've had a conversation about Force Design 2030 and small marine units moving in this general area with anti-ship missiles and intelligence gathering. Does that include Okinawa? Okinawa Prefecture? Will that be one of the places the Marines operate those anti-ship missiles?
Oh yes, these are well suited for say small teams. Though small is a relative term, a missile battery takes up a lot of space. But small teams with long-range missiles operating from these islands would create a network of say, anti-ship missiles that would be very hard for attacking military to deal with, attacking Navy, of course. And the Marines would be well-suited for that. The Japanese military, of course, understands the problem, and they have their own long-range missiles. And the plan is to have those down on those islands as well. But like a lot of things in Japan, it takes a long time to bring it to fruition. And bringing the Americans and the Japanese to integrate their defenses requires some effort.
Now we go to another island in the Okinawa Prefecture. There are a number of them here. And the one that's important to, on my understanding, because Grant has written about it, is Ishigaki Island. Why is that important? Closer in to Taiwan?
Yes, it's about two-thirds of the way down to Taiwan from the main island of Okinawa. It's a big island. And the defense usefulness is obvious in terms of where you could emplace anti-aircraft systems, anti-ship missiles, intelligence gathering, etc. But also it's got a good airfield, but it's also got a port, like most islands have. And the Americans in particular want to have as many ports as possible to be able to use, because currently they're confined to just a small number of ports in Japan that they use on a regular basis and use without too much interference because of local political difficulties, political opposition. And Ishigaki is one place of several on that chain they would like to have. It's most recent have access to, Most recently, what happened is a U.S. Navy ship wanted to go visit the local government, and the prefectural government both said, no, we don't want you here. And this took some negotiation and to-ing and fro-ing before the U.S. Navy ship was finally allowed to stop off. Given the sort of approach of war, possible war, you'd think that things would go a lot easier for the U.S. military operating in that area and on Ishigaki as well. But it's a problem that still exists, which it really ought not to.
This is the U.S., the Arleigh Burke-class destroyer U.S. Rafael Peralta. Certainly the islanders along this chain to Taiwan know that they're vulnerable in any conflict. What is the burden business? What does that mean in Japan?
Well, the burden business means that if you say that you don't like having the military around, say the Japanese military or the U.S. military around, you're scared of it, you're burdened by it, well, the central government will give you money to allow you grudgingly to let the military actually come and do some training, to even make a port call. So it's kind of like what they would call a shakedown racket in New York in the olden days, of course. Say the more you complain, the more money you get. And it's really on display in Okinawa. You know, of course, there is some principled opposition. But at the end of the day, what you're seeing is the burden business in operation throughout Japan, not just down in the southern islands, but all the way up to the northern tip of Hokkaido. Localities often rely on that money from the central government, and to get it, you have to play difficult. It's a reality, and it's unfortunate because the central government really won't do anything about it that matters, that's useful. And as a result, U.S. forces have a very hard time training properly and also getting access, to the ports and the airfields that they would need to conduct an effective defense of Japan, which they are obligated to do by treaty. And the treaty also says Japan must let American ships and aircraft use Japanese ships and airfields, not just this four or five to which they can easily access.
I'm looking at a photograph of Ishigaki Island along with the smaller Takatomi and Kohama. This burden business, does that mean that refusing the Arleigh Burke meant that they were paid even more? Is it that mercenary?
I don't know the actual specifics of how much money got passed around this time. But it is about that mercenary. Yes, there is some principled opposition. And make no mistake, the Japanese really suffered in World War II. And there is that lingering effect. But 30 years ago, that was more of an argument and a better argument. These days, not so much. I'd say that principled opposition to it and the opposition based on the memory of World War II still there, but it's much less. And I think you would have to say, without being too cynical, that this is a sort of, as I said earlier, something like a shakedown racket to get money out of the central government. And the central government pays up, and it reflects itself down to the very local village level, all the way up to prefectural levels as well. And it's big business, unfortunately, and it gets in the way of putting on a proper deterrent by the Americans and by the Japanese military as well to the oncoming Chinese threat that some would say is not actually oncoming. It's already here.
Grant Newsham, retired United States Marine officer. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,